Welcome to Meet the People of MCB with Kay Momquist and Chip Haley. Sponsored by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Kay Momquist.
How are you doing today, Kay?
I am doing absolutely fabulous. I've been working already, and so you guys should be happy with that.
I know.
It's Wednesday.
You have been one very busy lady.
I won't argue that point.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, looking forward to today's interview. We got someone that I think that everyone has just been sitting back and waiting to hear from this individual. So right now we're going to bring her on and welcome Julie Broker.
Hello.
Yeah. Hi, Julie. How are you doing today?
All right.
Okay, Julie, are you in a situation there where you're located? Are you comfortable there where you're at? You need to do anything, or are we ready to get going here? And
yeah, we're ready to get going. There's nobody else here. So.
All right. Well, Julie, one of the things that we like to do, we like to start off with the interview, talking to the individual about their vision loss. I think you're high partial, but why don't you share with us exactly what is the cause and the result of your vision loss?
Actually, mine was congenital, so I was born with it. So they trace it back to my dad's side of the family. It's a relatively rare eye disease called congenital jerk nystagmus. So, so that's basically what I get. It was relatively rare because I know when I was born, heck, I'll give you my age here. I was born in 72 that all you could go to, my parents had to take me from Michigan all the way to Rochester to Mayo Clinic to even find out what I even had. So,
okay. So,
relatively rare.
Yeah. So it's an inherited eye condition. Okay. So you mentioned your dad. Anyone, you got brothers, sisters, anyone else in your family that had the same rare eye disease?
No, it skipped generations. I only have two other older brothers. But they're actually my half brothers, and it was on my dad's side of the family. But it was probably traced back to his great grandmother, so it just skipped all those generations. Somehow, I ended up with it, I guess.
And you mentioned that you came from Michigan. Whereabouts in Michigan were you located?
Sturgis, Michigan. It's a small town. Well, everybody's heard of that famous song Kalamazoo. It's 45 miles directly south of Kalamazoo on the Michigan-Indiana border. Southwest Lower Michigan, to be more precise, since there is an upper peninsula there that's about, I think it's about 80 miles from Chicago.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not far. That's not far at all. So what actually brought you to Missouri?
After my dad passed away, my mom wanted to sell the house because we had a huge house and we didn't need the room. When my brothers left and my dad passed away, we really didn't need that big, huge house for the two of us. And Robert and Kim already lived down here, and since they have a house, they said I could stay with them until I found my own place, because I really need to have access to transportation, because Sturgis is so small that it's basically everybody has to drive or you have to rely on people all the time. When Uber and Lyft would never go there, it's only a population of like 11,000, so, you know, it's not a very big city, so access to transportation so it'd be easier for me to get a job was the main thing. Because okay. Plus knowing Robert and Kib, I had somewhere to stay before I found my own place. So
sure, you bet. Well, before I turn it over to turn it over to Kay, I have one other question I want to ask. So how was it for you growing up as an individual with a visual impairment? What kind of challenges did you face and had to overcome growing up?
Well, the main problem is because I was from a small city and they didn't have things like resource rooms, stuff like they have like in larger cities like him being near Detroit and East Point, I was the only person in my town that had any kind of disability. So I kind of like really stuck out. But the fact I'm legally blind, my vision, since I'm legally blind, the only really help I needed in school, because I was mainstream, the only help I really needed like to read from far, from like read chalkboards or the overhead projectors and stuff like that. As long as you give it in front of me, I can read regular print and such. But that became the teachers got frustrated because they're used to writing stuff on the chalkboard and they don't always prepare things ahead of time. And sometimes they just do things, spur of the moment, and they'd have to have stuff written separately for me because they know the rest of the kids could read it, but I couldn't read it sitting in the front row. So the teachers got kind of frustrated with me over that. And the main thing is I got a lot of things from my classmates, because when we did the SAT and ACTs for college, because of the fact I have a vision impairment and I don't read as fast as everybody else does, they gave them to me on time. And a lot of people found out about that, and I got harassed about that because, oh, it's not fair that she gets all the time she needs and we don't, kind of thing.
Well, I certainly understand that, you bet. Okay, so I'm going to pass it over to Kay.
Okay. Julie, I've got some questions for you. You said you had two half brothers and things like that, and there's nobody else in your family that has any eye problems. So moving on from that, I guess, what did you do after you graduated, or what was your work history, just out of curiosity?
Well, after I grad oh, you mean after I graduated from high school, you mean?
Or
Okay,
whenever,
well,
whenever you started working, what was your interest? Because I think people will find this kind of interesting.
I actually, to be if you want to start with my very first work history, I started working in a library. So that's when I was 16. My first place is I worked in a library, basically just shelving books and stuff. So that Dewey Decimal Pit system, my gosh, everybody hates that thing. But anyway, so that's how I first started. I have worked, well, about Six Flags, of course, because I said that during the convention. But other than that, I've had cashier type jobs at Walmart because, like I said, I could read, since I could read regular print, I can tell money also. So actually, I say I got perfect cashier's record. They were happy with that. So they never came up short. But other than that, basically, because my parents were in a lot of bad health later on, I basically, since I was living with them till I went to, till I finished, I mean, I was still living with my mom, like I just said earlier, because of health problems, since I didn't have to work really, since I was living with them, because I was getting benefits, for being legally blind. But that I have had, besides on the jobs at Walmart doing substitute teaching down here, when I got, because I have a degree in psychology here, so bachelor's degree in psychology, so I did substitute teaching on here, mostly with special needs kids, in particular autistic kids, which takes a lot of patience to work with autistic kids, especially if they're severely autistic. And other than that, working for Chris Lee, like I told Kay before, I worked, I guess you call them personal attendants when you do the shopping and stuff like that. Or you guys know what those probably are. I did that for Kay Kim first, actually, when I first came down here. So that's my main job history, because I basically had to take care of my two parents, especially when my dad got really bad the last 2 years before he passed away.
Well, sounds like you've had quite an interesting work history, that's for sure. And I bet you a lot of people had no idea that you worked with special needs kids in the school system here in St. Louis. And I think that's really kind of neat. So that having been said, I know you mentioned that one of the reasons that you moved down here was because you knew Robert and Kim Vaughn. And so you came down here after your mom sold her house. And so at what point did you get interested in getting involved with MCB?
Basically, from talking to Robert and Kim, because of course they belong to him for, well, I don't know how long they joined. Probably when Kim moved down here, Robert's probably been belonging to it longer than that, probably because he's came from Carthage. But but anyway, yeah. So basically, hearing from them and the different benefits that you can get from it. I know the main thing that really helps people out is that adaptive technology grant. So since I do use magnifier on my computer and stuff like that, that makes me qualify for the adaptive technology grant. But But just the fact that it's you're kind of with people, you're like, 'cause I came from a place where I was the only one with any vision impairment to like knowing what other people, being around people who know what it's like to not have much vision or no vision at all, kind of like thing. I felt like I was more, had more to in common with people because I know they have, well, I learned a lot about blindness too, because I'm since I'm borderline legally blind, I mean, I never realized the terms of high partial. People have totally different kinds of vision out there, so.
That's for sure. And you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because being a high partial, I remember what it was like to be able to see. And you really don't, unless you're around blind people, totally blind people all the time, you really don't know what their requirements are, because you're busy trying to deal with your own requirements, you know. So that's interesting. So you are still a member at large, right? You don't belong to any
I don't
affiliates
belong
now.
in an affiliate. Yeah, no, I do not. I'm still a member. I've been a member at large since I first joined because I wasn't very familiar with how many affiliates there are out there until I got on the board here before being secretary. Because I look at this like it's like 5-page list or something about all the different special affiliates, the regular affiliates, and then, and of course, I didn't realize there's 19 people on the board either. I'm like, wow, there's a lot of people on here. So.
Yeah, you know, and that's really interesting. Just so you guys know, Julie is our, or will be, as of November 1st, our new secretary for the board. And she just got all kinds of information and paperwork and all this kind of stuff when she went and signed her confidentiality clauses. And she's looking at this stuff and realizing that there is a lot involved, or a lot more to MCV than what she even realized. So I think that's great that she's really even getting more into what's available with as far as MCB is concerned. So Chip, do you have any more questions for
I
Julie?
always do. You know I do.
I
So,
know it. You never let me down.
right. So, Julie, let's back up a little bit. During your time while you were living in Michigan, did you ever get involved with other blind consumer organizations? Was that available to you?
Because I was from a small town, no, the closest place that had the available, matter of fact, it's where I met Kim at, was I think it used to be called the Michigan Commission for the Blind. I think they changed their name to the Rehab Center for the Blind, but that was still 45 miles away. So there wasn't anything locally. I had no way to get 45 miles away to
Sure.
it. But
Sure.
and I met
Yeah.
Kim because one of the things we had to do, they helped us, they did have funding to help pay for your college, but you had to do what they called some called college prep, where you had to prove, okay, you're independent enough that you can handle college before we help you pay for college. And that's how I met Kim, was the Michigan Commission for the Blind, because I can't remember what she was there for, but that was way back in 1990, because they let me take the college prep part between my junior and senior year, because I graduated in 1991. And man, I can't believe it's been that long ago since I've met Kim. But yeah, I remember the year because it was Because I was one of those nerds that was taking classes, college classes, by the way, before I even graduated from high school. But they allowed you to do that for the college prep type thing. I felt kind of weird being in college when I only graduated from high school. That was a little bit different, but I did it, so.
And then, so you moved to Missouri, and you mentioned working at Six Flags. So were you able to take some time and enjoy the theme park, go on some of the rides, and really check everything out?
Oh yeah, Kay knows that for a fact. Matter of fact, because that's when she called me Friday. She asked me where I was, and she asked me about opening up the building. I said, "Well, I'm in the middle of a gift shop at Six Flags right now." So yeah, I most definitely go to the park when I'm not working. I mean, so when I was working, when I said about my secretarial qualifications, I was working in GR, another name for customer service, and I was on my phone alone all day when I was doing that. But they started moving down to the front gate in 2019, because I'd work been working Six Flags since 2018, but not in what would have qualified me for the secretarial position. We moved me down to the front gate in 19, and of course we were open in 2019, so I've been working there 5 years total. But yeah, that's one of the perks you get, not discounts when you aren't working, better than what the guests get now too, because of what the new CEO kind of changed things around. We get better benefits than the guests do now, but when we were working there. But because I ran into health problems earlier this year, I mean, I almost had a stroke twice, actually, ooh, since I worked out there.
Oh,
yeah. My blood pressure got up to 210 over 110.
Oh, my goodness.
And they said, they found out it was heat related, because we'd be out there in the 105 degree days is when it happens. So we narrowed that down. It was heat related, that I'm not sure if I'll be able to work out there in the blazing hot summer anymore, but I could probably work spring and fall at the gate, maybe, because we're not going to be, Six Flags will not be open after this Sunday, because they decided not to do Holiday in the Park anymore.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to ask you too, is it the same with Six Flags? I'm not certain, but I know there are some theme parks. If you're a person with a disability, you get in for free, like Silver Dollar City down in Branson. I've gone down there and been able to get in for free because I'm visually impaired. So is that true with Six Flags, or do you, even though
no,
you're a
it
person,
is not.
Yeah. Okay. All right. All right.
Well, no, Six Flags does not do it. And Cedar Fair, I'm also familiar with. I know we have Cedar Fair Park in Kansas City here, but I'm familiar with that because I was closer to Cedar Point in Sandusky, Ohio. I was only 2.5 miles away, so I'm very familiar with their flagship park. No, they don't do it either.
Okay.
The well, two now, major ones do not do it, no.
Yeah. So now, because of your acquaintance with Robert and Kim Vaughn, you've gotten to know, gotten involved with MCB. And you said, what did you say, 2017?
28. I moved down here in 2017, but I guess it was late. It was September 2017, but I didn't actually join till 2018.
Okay. Okay. That's fine. So have you been able to get acclimated to things pretty well, to get to know people, to get to know the organization? I know you're probably still a bit in the learning process. So how's that working for you?
Well, I got to learn more. I got to learn more mostly from Robert and Kim to begin with. In fact, I live right next door to the building. All I got to do is go over and say, Virginia, help. No, you know, since I live right next door to MCB here. So I kind of learned a lot of stuff from Virginia over there. So.
All right.
Like
so
the big,
yeah.
Like the big, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem. Here you are, and you're still kind of learning the ropes, so to speak, getting acclimated to things. Is there any one thing that just, I think you kind of touched on it before we started the recording, but is there any one thing that really stands out in your mind and you just got to step back and say, wow, you know, you never knew that. Is there anything that you, for you personally, maybe you've not yet had the time to experience it, but you've learned about it that really stands out in your mind, something that you'd like to share with us?
You mean like relate to vision impairment or what in general here?
Well, specifically say like one of our services or programs, you were talking about being eligible for the Adaptive Technology Matching Grant Program. A lot of state affiliates do not have that luxury. So
I know there, Michigan doesn't.
Yeah. So is there any of our services and programs like that? Have you had a chance maybe to go to summer camp or what it was like for you first time attending the convention? I know the last 2 years you didn't have that opportunity. You did this year. And so, but just anything in general like that.
Well, the fact the adaptive technology was the biggest thing, because I, especially when you're doing this iPhones, we all know how expensive those are. I mean, the fact that somebody has that they could actually afford to be able to, I know it's limited, of course, but still be able to afford to do that. Because I know Michigan didn't have any kind of help that I know of for adaptive technology. And just learning about voiceover and stuff from Robert and Kim got me too, because I can read regular print as long as I don't have to read it from across the room or something. I mean, just what you're capable of doing with speech. And well, Robert taught me he's got the Braille displays, you know, and how those things work. So I learned a lot more about that. But back to the candidate form, when I kind of felt like I was kind of a little bit thrown under the bus a little bit when somebody asked me, what are you going to do about the secretarial type notes and stuff?
Right.
For blind people, and I wasn't even thinking, but because I wasn't thinking, but the fact that I was right next to the room that has the Braille embosser in it, I mean, obviously you would just use the computer, and they were, I guess Virginia does this because Kay told me that you send everything to Virginia and she uses the computer that prints out the Braille.
Sure.
The only
thing
I always wondered about that is how do you, Virginia doesn't know Braille. I don't think she knows Braille. I don't know if she does or not. I kind of asked Kay about that. last Saturday. How do you know that it's transcribing it, not doing a lot of gibberish if you don't know how to read Braille? They don't know how to read Braille themselves. I mean,
very good question. Well, I tell you, Kay, you want to take that on?
Yeah. There's a piece of software called Duxbury, and it does all the translation. So basically, you could take a Word document, and if the Word document is formatted correctly, yeah, you have to do a couple of odds and ends. Sometimes things turn out kind of odd, but Duxbury really takes a lot of the guesswork out of it for people that don't know Braille and things like that. It's interesting because you can actually see what the page looks like and say, oh, well, that looks okay. I can't understand it, but it looks okay. And so, you know, that takes a lot of that guesswork out. And, you know, a lot of it is knowing your page formatting and things like that, which, of course, Virginia working in an office, she does know that. So,
yeah. And she's been doing it since what, 2009? And as far as I know, she's never received any complaints about it. So apparently she's doing an excellent job with that. So I do have one last question before I turn it back over to Kay.
All right.
So, Judy, you mentioned a little bit about some of the challenges, what it was like for you growing up as a child. Now that you're in St. Louis, what is life like for you now? What kind of big challenges do you face each day of your life that you have to try to overcome? Is there any one specific challenge that other than, well, even something like transportation?
I was going to say, I knew you kind of not want to touch transportation. That was the whole thing with Six Flags, actually. I'm glad that, well, he's, you know, you might be familiar with, well, Robert mentioned, you know, because we have, when Robert changed the people on the building committee, Michael Hartman is somebody that was just added to the building committee after Adana left. And he really helped me out, because when I worked at Six Flags, if you want to talk about something most people would probably not do for a job, I'm not trying to sound conceited or something, but basically the only way I could get to Six Flags before I met Michael here is I had to take Metro to North Hanley to catch their company bus that would pick them up there. I don't know why they chose North Hanley. Maybe they have a lot of people from the north side and make it easier for them. And by the time I did this, it took me 4 hours transportation-wise to go between the two trains and a bus and then taking the company bus out there. Most people would not spend 4 hours just going back and forth for a job.
Yeah.
When I found out Michael Hartman, when I met him in 2019, when I was moved down to the gate out of GR and found out, well, actually, he didn't start talking to me really. We didn't have the same shifts in 2019, but in 2020 we did. And I thought we just casually started talking when we weren't that busy, when there was hardly any guests, because most guests were afraid to come out after COVID, just like we haven't had things over here at the building. No, you know, building committee was real easy. Robert put me on it a while. I've been put on it a while, but since when COVID hit, you know, there was nothing going on over here because you have, you know, people were afraid to go out. We all know everybody was afraid to go out because, you know, because they thought you could catch it by touch. And I know with blind people, that's a big deal because you have to touch things where we use our eyes. But speaking of Braille, I forgot to throw this out of a while ago. At college, one of the things we did in our blind rehab department, they had a place in Western Michigan University blind rehab department. Yeah,
yes,
I graduated from
yes,
there,
yep.
Just like Tim Allen.
Yes, yep.
But anyway, they actually had a thing, if people were brave enough, I shouldn't say brave enough, but wanted to try learning Braille. But the main thing they made sure we did is so we couldn't cheat, they would cover up our hands. So we wouldn't try to like read the dots or something, memorize the dots look. And I found out, oh my gosh, I guess I have to admit, I'd have to really practice if I had to read Braille myself, because I know those dots are so close together.
Yes.
It was kind of interesting to just try it though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
just
interesting.
Try to read it. So.
Yeah. Hey.
All right. I'm going to ask my usual questions. The one that sneaks up on everybody, Julie, what is it that you do or that you're interested in or that you have done that most people do not know about Julie Broker?
Oh, I was prepared for this one, Kay. All right. back when I was in high school, we went to a place called Crystal Mountain. It's not it's Crystal Mountain. It's Crystal Mountain, Michigan. It's Thompsonville, which is Traverse City, which is upper near Muskegon, which is the up near the UP in Michigan. Now I'm giving you a detailed map here. But anyway, the one thing most people do not know, and matter of fact, I floored everybody in my high school with this one, is because they think because my vision is so bad that I couldn't do downhill alpine skiing. Well, they had what they call NASTAR up there, which is, I think I remember what it stands for, National Standard Race. It's basically like what you see on the Olympics, but of course, much smaller scale. Will you do slalom racing? You could either do, I won two silver medals doing that, and that even
Oh,
floored the
wow.
high
That's
school students, but they
terrific.
thought I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
But, well, one was timed, and I would have actually gotten a gold medal probably doing that, except there was a patch of ice on the hill, and I didn't see it, so I kind of slid past the gate and lost time. And the other one was against somebody else, so I got two silver medals. And nobody probably knows that except for maybe Robert and Kim, but.
Wow, that's cool.
You bet.
See,
Yeah.
that's the reason I asked that question. That's really neat. Well, good for you on
Well,
that one.
thanks. But Kay, did you say you used to be able to see? See, I didn't know that about you either, but I guess it's about me, but
Up until I
still.
was about 20, I would have been considered a high partial.
Oh, okay.
Or, yep.
Yeah.
What
Okay.
exactly? Here's a question I have for you guys. What exactly? What do you consider? What your vision has to be to consider a high partial,
Well,
actually?
I started losing my vision. So, but by the time I was really had lost my vision, I would have been considered a partial. A high partial is somebody that's just under, legal blindness, which is what is it, 2200?
20/20 over 200. Yes. So
Yeah,
that's me
and
right
so
there.
I had a lot less vision than that. I considered myself a high partial. I always said to people, I can see good enough to be dangerous. And
Why the
trust me,
fuck?
with some of the
Okay.
things I've done over my lifetime, that is not a false statement. But
Oh boy, you're a
anyway,
wild girl. Oh man, I'm learning more about you, and I'm supposed to be about okay. You were a wild girl. All right.
but yeah, so that's interesting. And I wondered, I think I'm going to leave this last question, or if Chip has some more questions that we may have forgotten, to Chip, unless, well, go ahead, Chip.
Well, the only thing I was going to do, Julie, is do you have any words of encouragement? You know what it's like having grown up as a person with a visual impairment. Do you have any words of encouragement, words of wisdom that you would like to share with folks that would, maybe help them in their journey along the way? Something, that you've learned or you'd like to share?
Well, basically just try to, not give up on doing things. Like I said, if I could do ski racing, for instance, a lot of people would think somebody with my vision could do that, but just not, and to stick up for yourself sometimes too, because a lot of people will be like, oh, well, they'll just listen to other people saying that they can't do something, and they won't even try to do stuff because they're convinced that other people told them they couldn't do it, to just try out themselves and not, try to see if they can do it or not instead of just listening to everybody else.
That's terrific. And Julie, we want to thank you for being our special guest today. We're really looking forward to working with you as our newly elected MCB State Secretary. And we certainly want to wish you well. And ladies and gentlemen, if you know someone that you would like for Kay and I to interview here on Meet the People of MCB, you can have them reach out to me, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or me, K Momquist, at 608-436-2610.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to this edition of Meet the People of MCB. Hope you have a terrific week, and we'll catch you right back here next time.